Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is September 6th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. Happy Labor Day. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing all right. You know, the long weekend, it can go two ways, where you're like, the Sunday scaries are amplified because you just you've been away from the you know, natural
away
normal
from the
rigors
mic.
An extra day. Away from the mic. Or it could be like, hey, we just got to get through 4 days this week. We're starting on Tuesday morning. So it kind of goes two ways. And I'm still at a toss up. I'm right at a tipping point right now where the Sunday / Monday scaries hit me hard, or I'm just, ready to take on a shortened week. We'll see. Either way, this is a delayed episode. We wanted to wait till the end of the Solheim Cup, which was on a holiday here in the States. I think this is, it's a little myopic that they made it a Monday finish, because, I mean, I don't think Europe celebrates Labor Day, do they? Do many of the European countries?
I don't think so. But it comes on at night there, so it's like Monday Night Football there.
Sure. So, exactly.
In a way, like national championships are on Mondays,
Yeah.
Monday Night Football's on Monday. A big European, some way called an upset, others might have said, hey, this isn't really, that big of a differential in talent. Big upset win for the Europeans. They're celebrating in the streets of Europe tonight with the win.
All through all the streets of Europe, everywhere. Bratislava, to London.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. They win.
Finland, buoyed by, Castrin's great play.
I was looking up all the Finnish golfers. There's a lot of Mikkos out there, but Matilda seems to have now separated herself as, I don't know, maybe already the greatest Finnish golfer on the, I don't know. That was impressive. Impressive 3 days for her. All right, let's get into it. Solheim Cup, Europe rolls. This was the event of the week. I guess it felt like it felt like it could have gotten close there in the final 2 hours plus of singles. But that's sort of, I think Kyle Porter had a great tweet about this. It's like basically convincing yourself the next 2-3 days that things could go a certain way and you're still in it and you're still in it and you're still in it, when it's really like a one in six shot or something like that. And rarely does it come together. And like this sort of was Europe's game to lose from the first 4 points, the first session. And I know that you got to play through it all, but like that was kind of the start of it. And U.S. could never really get off the mat after that.
Yeah, they just kind of held serve after a dominating opening to the event. They just didn't have any catastrophic sessions, which is the name of the game, is that you always have a chance. And then in singles, they split it. And I think the big thing about the singles were, They had so many runaway wins early on that it kind of put it away early, right? Between Leona Maguire and Boutier, and then also like Sagstrom pulling away late. Like they had 3 points on the board; they didn't need many. With most of the team still playing,
right. You didn't have to get. You have to rely on Popov, Hall, Saganda towards the back half, and they didn't really come through. Pedersen, it got close. I mean, she was shaky. She, of course, had sort of a disastrous first Solheim Cup in Des Moines, but it was shaky. Fortunately, it didn't matter. She secured that half point because Danielle Kane, she wasn't that great. The American horses, and this is a theme in the Ryder Cup too. Sometimes the top of the world rankings, the highest rated ranked players don't always show up. But I think, they have to have winning records. Like you said, the margins are so thin. Number one in the world, that doesn't mean there's like a demonstrable difference in talent between, you know, the eighth, ninth, tenth player on the European side. But you got to have like winning records from your top rated players. Nelly Korda wasn't great. She was 2-2 overall. Took a rest, I think, Sunday afternoon. And Danielle Kane was not good. She was 1-3-0. So, you know, those are two. I don't know if they're stars. I saw Zephyr Melton of golf.com had a tweet that Katrina Mathieu, I think it was spicy, like clearly outmaneuvered Pat Hurst, outcoached, outmaneuvered Pat Hurst, because, you know, Hurst stuck with those stars while Mathieu rode the hot hands, which were, you know, Castron and McGuire for sure, some of the rookies, maybe the lesser known players. So I was gonna say that
I thought, you know, to a certain extent, Katrina Mathieu, she played Popoff every match, every day, not every match, three matches. Popoff was terrible. She played awful. It was interesting. Garrett had Joe LaMagna on, who's a data guy. And he talked about kind of the misconceptions of match play. And one thing he said is like, if you have somebody that stinks, like that isn't playing good, and like, you know, this is like Phil in France. Like, you knew Phil was just, you know, if you watch anything in the practice rounds, you knew he was terrible. It's just don't play him until match play, because then or until singles, because you're only giving up 1 point. You know,
right.
Popoff was not good today. She was not good yesterday. She wasn't good the day before. And this is the same thing, though, that Pat Hurst did. It's like this idea of playing everybody every day. Just don't play him. Like Leona McGuire, perfect example. Play her every single session, like Katrina Mathieu did. She was playing the best of any European, and she gets you 4 points, 4.5 points. You know, it's a, you know, like from the disparity in talent, like, you know. It, just from the world ranking sense, right? You've got nine Americans in the top 31 in the Rolex rankings. I think there were three Europeans in there. So, you know, this is. But at the same time, match play shrinks, you know, margins of talent. It makes everything closer because, you know, it's not about like stroke play is about building a foundation, right? And
we're starting with the 10-shot lead. Oh, but go ahead. That's the built-in foundation, as we saw in Atlanta. All
right, that's what you get when you build a season of foundations.
Go ahead. Sorry, you're right.
But yeah, I think it shrinks the skill gap when you play match play, and there's just high variance, and you know you could play this, but you know they outplayed them. You could say they outmaneuvered them. They outplayed them, and frankly, they were the better team, right?
Yeah, I think that's the point. Is like. I don't know that the U.S. This is like first takey. I don't know the U.S. lost it as much as Europe won it, right? I think Europe was really, really strong. They obviously the one thing I love about these team events is that they do surface. Look, it's like 24 elite talents. It's not, you know, nobodies or minor leaguers, but like it does surface names that maybe the general fan hasn't. Aware of yet, or like a Nicholas Kolsertz at Medina, that kind of thing. Obviously, Leona McGuire was a much highly touted amateur, dominant career, a stud. Was a great rookie. All that, and Castron in the same token. Like, I don't know. It creates new heroes, right? A new hero, whether it's on this side of the Atlantic or the other side of the Atlantic. Like, it creates sort of new heroes, new identities, new legends. For maybe people, you know, that's the built-in sort of advantage of a team match play. You don't need, like, this event is going to suck unless I get Brooks Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau on Sunday. You know, like, we need the top five players in the world against each other. Like, sometimes events require that. Whereas with this team match play, it really allows that cushion to sort of become more familiar with players, you know, farther down the roster or maybe newcomers, rookies that are to these team events and kind of build their legends. And it doesn't detract from the event that you don't get whatever Nelly Korda versus their top dog for it all at the end. So that's the built-in advantage these team match play events have. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the team match play. It's just so much fun. One thing I was thinking about with the women, I'd say that this event and the Olympics have become two of the biggest events and maybe the most high profile, most mainstream events in terms of general viewing public for the women. And I think it's kind of interesting that the two biggest women's events, arguably from a commercial side, pay the players no money.
Yeah, aren't paid.
And like, also the other thing with it is like the players don't get to like their they don't have their sponsorship. They don't get to wear their the clothes they wear. You know, there's all this stuff like these women, like they have to wear the hats. You know, it's like they don't get to have their own like kind of personal swag, like style and on display in these events, which I think is kind of. It's a little, you know, obviously you have the team uniforms, you want to do that. But at the same time, you know, for the Olympics and this, it does stink that they're A, unpaid, and B, they don't get to, like, their sponsors, that people that pay them a lot of money, and then also just their personal style doesn't get to come out.
Yeah. You know, the event was lessened by Anna Nordqvist not having Golf Saudi on her sleeve this week. I
deserve that. Like, but no, I'm just saying from their standpoint.
They should get a cut. They should make some loot off putting off a big time event, an entertaining product.
I just think given, like, you know, some of these women in the event don't make a ton of money. Like, you know, the 100th. Right. Rank or the 75th ranked player in women's game isn't raking it in, you know, necessarily.
Yep. Yep.
Like this isn't like what we watched in Atlanta, where the guys the 10 or 12 guys on the American Ryder Cup team is probably hauled home like $35 million in FedEx bonuses this weekend. Right. You know.
Right. Right. What would you like? This is just on the fly. What would you like give this as a grade, A through F, like overall? I wouldn't say it was like an A plus.
I'd say it's like a good. B plus.
Okay.
B plus, yeah, A minus. Like it was great. It was
Saturday to Monday finish was like built in, like aided it for me. Inverness obviously enhanced it. I don't know that it was ever like super, super close. It always felt like they had him at arm's length. There weren't a ton of explosions, I would say, in terms of match swings. And we had a rules controversy, which we'll get to in a minute here. But I wouldn't say it was like a dominant A+, but B plus, fine. Good for
it. It was like a NFL game where your team's down two scores all game long. And then at the very end, they kick a field goal and make it look closer than it was.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. What did you? Should we do concession gate, pickup gate, whatever? Quick pick gate.
I mean,
or you want to do Inverness? What do you want to talk about Inverness at all? What are your comments on that? Great venue. Great host venue. Seemed like
really good
up.
Venue.
West. We got Westy tweeting. I think trying to stir the pot. Of course, all these European tour players are jumping in, very happy, giddy. He said, I'd love to see a wide shot of that 18th green. Not sure many spectators stayed. Hashtag tumbleweed. Is he getting that? Is he trying to say that it was classless, that people vacated the premises to watch them dance on home soil? Like, I don't know what he's trying to stir the pot. These Euros get so sensitive about these team match play event things. But anyways, Inverness was a great, great venue.
You and Murray replied, had wandered out for a look there. Sparse.
So what? Like, if the Bears are down 24-10, you're out of there. I don't want to watch. You're like, what do you mean? Like, these guys and their sensibilities across the pond.
That's not how sportsmen reacted. Cheltenham, you know?
Cheltenham. 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 Where the ponies?
Yeah, that's not how true sports is.
Shuttle. All right. No, I mean, anything disappoint you about the venue, or it was as advertised? It was built.
It's a hard Parkland golf course. I think, like, in general, if I had my critiques around the golf course and the setup, it'd be like there's too much rough. The mow lines could be better, but they want to appease the USGA, who wants narrow fairways. So, you know, it's a kind of like a chicken or the egg situation, right?
Sure.
I think in general, I think the venue acquitted itself really well. I think the, you know, having the open approaches in most cases Really, in you know, that they had that really nice firmness the first day. Obviously, they got a little moisture that softened it up a bit. But you know, watching balls bounce in and the way they get those approaches humming out there, it's a great venue. And obviously, you know, I think like they decided to swap 9 and 18, and it ensures everybody plays 18. But 18, right. Like you're kind of playing architect. 18 is such an iconic closing hole, and you know. You never know how many matches are going to come down to it, but this week we had a ton of matches come down to 18, and 9 is probably one of the worst holes at Inverness, if not the worst hole, and 18 is one of the best holes, and it would have just been fun because that 18th hole asks like a very different question, and with the women, you know, with that green so heavily protected, it's really fun to watch them play that hole. Granted, like, 9 is like a, you know, 18 that we saw is like a super easy driving hole. I couldn't believe how many bad tee shots we saw there this week.
There were a lot. Yeah.
It was just like, it's just like not, you could miss all the world to the left. And I just couldn't believe how many women were in the right bunker.
They, yeah. They flashed some stat like 16 to 28 matches went to the full, yeah. Went the distance, I think. They like an unusual amount. So I guess, you know, they would have ended up getting that hole had they flipped them that like that. But again, it was a fantastic venue. Let's do, let's get to Concession Gate. Or whatever.
You gotta
it is.
Make me revisit this.
You know, well, it was, so here's Stephen Proctor, another friend of the program, tweeting tonight. I can't help but reflect on the impact of the egregiously poor ruling on day one. It seemed to take a significant emotional toll on Nelly Korda, and it clearly fired up Europe. I hope those running the event will learn from that and think twice about inserting themselves. So I know we're revisiting. I know it feels like a month ago, but it did seem, you know, would you agree with that? Stephen Proctor's take that it had a longer tail, had an impact that stretched out through the matches.
Yeah, I just think it was a ridiculous thing to have happen. Okay. All right, I issued my statement on social media.
Oh God.
I got a lot of replies. All right, so here's the deal. The ball wasn't going in. Everybody agrees, right? The ball wasn't going in. Nelly Korda was on the ground. You know why she was on the ground? Because she knew it wasn't going in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you're an opponent, like that, I saw this reply from people. Oh, Sagstrom ran in there quick to stop it from going in. You're on national television. Who would do that?
Like, so she was did not go in there kind of quick. She it did go not, in there kind of... She's not going to stop it. I'm not suggesting yeah, she was like trying to
that's the thing. It's like, she didn't go in there to try and knock it away. Like, who would do that on national television?
But I just don't... Like, I don't think she needed to grab the ball. She didn't need
to
touch it.
This is the thing. She didn't... She was dumb for doing that. We all make dumb mistakes. Like, that was dumb. Like... But at the same time, Korda was on the ground, showed no signs of when she was getting up, and I'm sure Sagstrom was like, all right, let's get this thing freaking moving. You know? Yeah. I want to putt. Yeah. I want to line up my putt. You know? It just... The official coming in then after she hit the putt was the other thing. That's
that
the other...
Look at me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was not good.
The official's like, you know, Missy is doing a press conference. Missy Jones doing a press conference afterwards, you know, on Twitter. And she's like, well, you know, I needed to, you know, I needed to insert myself. It's like, if you're going to insert yourself, insert it before the next consequential putt if you're going to call the penalty.
And it impacted the point. I mean, it wasn't like a thing that just happened and then it didn't matter. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, thank God, like Europe won the overall cup, but it impacted the match, the point that was up for grabs in that match. So, yeah, I just think it's like,
And here's the other thing.
Just be reasonable about everything. If one side agrees and both sides agree, why do we have to like just decide to blow that up? You know, it seemed reasonable that both sides agreed it was not going in. Nobody thought like
Sagerson came in
there trying to bat it out like a goalie or something. But like, I don't understand why we just didn't agree to.
The last thing, and I will stick with this, Nelly, like. The official said, it's my ruling. Nelly said, there's nothing I could do. There's 100% something. You know, like if you're in that situation, if anybody that's played a match that's had a walking official understands that if you say, hey, that wasn't going in, this is a moot point. It wasn't going in. The whole thing's over right then. Now, like, I'm not saying Nelly should have, but Nelly could have ended the whole thing right there.
I guess. I mean, yeah. It didn't seem like the rules official and like
was no, but like if
running
you're
a budge,
if
and
you're
also
the
again, it's the national TV thing. Like they can't. It's not like a qualifier without any cameras around. I just think like once it's out there, it's going to be hard to stop.
Well, it just was a ridiculous thing because here's the thing. This is what we've talked about this before. At the end of the day, the rules official in a way is like a police officer. And their job's to interpret rules and apply rules in situations. That situation, like, I get what the rule says. And B, how could you possibly prove that it was overhanging?
Yeah.
From, like, a blurry, weird angle shot. It's like, I'd want a lot more than that to say that it was overhanging when a player walked in and picked up the ball. Because,
yeah.
Like, you know how many balls that Madeline Sagstrom's seen? You know how many putts she's hit in her life? She wouldn't have picked up anything that had a chance of going in. So this is, like, where I struggle with the whole thing. Is, like, at the end of the day, it should have been, is this proof beyond a reasonable doubt? And there's no way that could possibly have been beyond a reasonable doubt that, you know. Sure. And that's why it shouldn't have been, it should have just been like play on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think I do kind of agree with Steven's point that started this discussion, which is like the impact it then had on going forward outside of that, the vacuum of that one match. I think it did sort of create attention, some regret, some motivation, and all of this is sort of intangible, sort of armchair quarterbacking. But I do think it probably had an impact on Nelly going forward, and certainly the Euros firing them up a little bit.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
For anybody that criticizes media for, you know, saying, hey, this was a bad, you know, situation, and saying you're being a little too harsh on the situation, all I'm trying to do is cover the situation the way I would cover the men's game, because that's the way you should cover the women's game, is you should cover both games the exact same way. And one thing I think that is a massive disservice to women's golf in the media is that there is no critical coverage, and it's covered just like, you know, everything's rah-rah all the time. And this is a larger point, is that there's this thing that happens with golf media where if you're covering the women's game, there's no critiquing, you know, like nobody critiques anything like they would for the men. And that's doing women's game a disservice, because, you know, part of what that critiques is like what, you know, makes the world go round on sports. I'm not saying this as elegantly, and I didn't think I was going to go down this road, but, you know, like your job as media is to cover the women's game the way you'd cover the men's game. And this situation, if you took Nelly out, insert Pat Reed, think about what would happen, you know? Like, about how much different the coverage would be. If you took, you know, Sagstrom out, if it was Poulter and Reed, like, that thing would be a wild situation. Like, and I'm not saying, like, but there needs to be critical coverage in women's game. Like, it cannot, that's the most fundamental factor of media, is there has to be critiques. It can't all be rosy all the time.
Yeah. I think that's I think that's the point we've made here many times. Like, you have to watch out for the advocacy, just coverage, coverage. And coverage can be critical. Coverage can be, praising, but it can't be advocacy all the time. So, no, I agree with you. So basically, we should say the U.S. choked. Nelly didn't play up to her potential. Danielle Kane played like crap, and they were, got their ass kicked when they were heavy favorites. No, I don't know.
I'd say that the U.S. team was just too short. The Europeans were taller.
Height-wise or off the tee?
Height-wise.
Who's short? Salas? Altamare, maybe?
Like, Austin Ernst seems short. Ernst,
yeah.
Megan Kang short. I mean, what's the delineation? I should ask you. You're the purveyor of short and tall. What's the short and tall line for women?
No, I'm not going down this road. All right, let's do an ad read. Oh, never mind. I'm not even going to go down that road. All right, let's do an ad read for Zero Restriction. They are the official outerwear sponsor of the losing U.S. team, the shotgun start, the fried egg. They had some nippy mornings.
If you want to be a loser like me and Brendan, or like the U.S. women, you should buy some Zero Restriction.
I had my Zero Restriction on Friday night. Went to a football game, high school football game, Friday Night Lights, put on a Zero Restriction vest. I actually got a couple compliments. Vesting season, vesting weather is coming. Wore a champ hoodie on Saturday morning. It was 50-some degrees. Got out to about 60. I am not in Zero Restriction right now as my AC has crapped out and is currently 85 degrees on the thermostat as I'm dripping sweat here at the microphone. But I wore it all weekend. It's about that time. You can get 25% off with SGS25. The champ hoodie, I put that on the unboxing video up on Instagram on Friday. That is hopefully, I think that's out, been in the ether right now. You'll never see that again. It was an Instagram story. But October is fast approaching. That's their rainy season. They said Zero Restriction is the best rain gear in the game. They're celebrating 30 years in the game. They're not Johnny Come Latelys. They're not some big brand that, makes everything and is like, hey, let's get into rain gear. And we'll just, no, they've been doing it forever. They're 30 years, they're celebrating their 30th anniversary. They have entry-level jackets. Just outpace their competitors, and they've got like the Primo stuff that's really expensive, but it's guaranteed for life, like the Z2000. So if you want rain gear, like if you really want to level up, swing for the fences for your rain gear. Don't cheap out on that stuff. And if it's guaranteed for life, I would recommend, the Zero Restriction Z2000. And if you just want some fall stuff, the champ hoodie, a vest, all that stuff. SGS25, the 25% off. Again, I do not need it right now in 85 degrees, but I was happy to have it over the weekend. And their women's stuff. My wife is very happy. Did you get home to your box? Zero Restriction?
Yeah.
Did you have it?
It's wonderful.
Did Kaylee get some stuff?
Kaylee did. She didn't know what the Solheim Cup was.
Well, now she does. Now she's flying the flag.
Yeah, she was pretty excited about it. She was delighted. She said she might send a tweet out. She was so delighted about it.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
went to the farmer's market on Saturday morning, wore the champ hoodie.
Oh, look at you. Little millennial. Well, there you go. Go to the farmer's market.
I go to the farmer's market like every Saturday. This place
how about that?
Find me every Saturday morning I'm in town, you know?
Right. How about that? All right.
I should get a farmer's market stand, and serve my coffee.
Oh, you could do that. Your cold brew?
Yeah, shotgun.
This is my secret special cold brew method.
Maybe that's what we needed. We should get some farmers market presents and start selling our coffee. That's the way to get out to more consumers. Speaking of, you can buy our coffee at BixbyCoffee.com.
Oh, shit. By the way, while we're doing ads and sponsors, Rocket Bucket, we will announce those next episode. We were not hauling Will Knights in to do the tabulations on a freaking holiday, but that is done. The Billy Ho bobbleheads packed up. So we'll do Rocket Bucket next episode. We'll read off all the winners there. Again, ZeroRestriction.com, SGS25 for 25% off. All right. Should we move on to the Net Tour Championship? With a low aggregate 266, we had a tie for first between Kevin Na and John Rahm in Atlanta. The FedEx Cup and Tour Championship winner. I mean, the FedEx Cup winner is Patrick Cantlay. The Tour Championship winners are Kevin Na and John Rahm, right? Is that right. How we want to do this? Okay, that, the shadow
this
leaderboard.
This is why it's important, though, okay? Yeah. So, like, I just...
We're going to look back at Cantlay's season 20 years from now. Like you said, he won Memorial, and he won the Tour Championship. And, like, I don't know. He kind of didn't, you know, right? I mean, he, in fact, did not win the Tour Championship on the scoreboard, you know, in shots. But what are you doing over there? What are you playing around with? What's wrong?
I saw a spider. I had to kill a spider down in the dungeon.
So, anyways, your point about looking back, he won Memorial kinda after John Rahm bowed out, and he won the Tour Championship kinda. It doesn't tell the full story. Anyways, that's the Tour Championship. I didn't watch a lot of it. I plan to talk about. Look. You already just hit this on the women's stuff. I saw people getting mad at me, getting mad about, like, why do you have to put down the Tour Championship to talk about the Solheim Cup? Why are you fighting? No one was fighting about anything. I wasn't fighting. Like, it's my job to say what I like, what things I think are good, why I think they're good. It's my job. What things I don't like, what things I don't think are good and why they're not good. If I said everything was good, you'd be the boy who cried good, and you wouldn't know what actually was good and what was bad. You'd think I'm a con artist.
Be an infomercial.
I think the Tour Championship sucks. I don't know what it sucked this weekend. It was especially bad. It was not going to draw me in. All right, it was lost on Sunday of a holiday weekend.
Well, it was the third most compelling golf tournament this weekend.
Right, like, right. You had the Korn Ferry Tour going for 25 cards, and you have a team match play event. I'm sorry, I'm going to be more interested in that. Like, me saying that sucked doesn't mean, like, if you like it, you're a bad person, or you want... That's my job, is to kind of look at the landscape. And East Lakes, that tournament has just never done much for me, and I thought this one was especially low, I don't know, low sex appeal. It just
maybe
didn't
the
have
worst,
anything.
Maybe the lowest of all time. Like the new format pop wore off. Like I think the first year of the new format, everybody was kind of like, "Well, let's see how this thing works," you know?
Yeah.
Last year you had the end of, like, it was COVID. It was just like a weird, you know, it was COVID, so it was like there weren't a lot of sports on, and it was like then, and it was like, okay, this year you're stacked up, like, you know,
this, you only had one major imagine, last year, right?
Before, I can't yeah. I can't imagine. Maybe they are happy. Maybe the tour gives them all this bullshit analytics and, you know, stuff about how, you know, maybe impressions and meltwater mentions the FedEx Cup but like, if you're a FedEx executive and you realize that, like, hey, we've got the third most compelling golf tournament this weekend, something's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like,
again,
that's the thing, is it shouldn't be this way. The end of the season shouldn't be this way. And maybe it's because the new season starts next week. Maybe that contributes to it. Like, I said something to my wife last night because we had my father-in-law's birthday, and I said something, and she's like, "Is something going on?" I'm like, "Well, you got the Solheim Cup, and then you've got the end of the season and for the PGA Tour." She goes, "Golf's just the worst." And I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "It never ends. It just never ends. This is just, you know," and I'm like, "Yeah, because the new season starts next week." You know, like, that's part of the problem. Is that we aren't going to miss it. Like, it just starts back up next week with the same exact product that we saw last week. Like, yeah. That's the reality. It's just, like, it never ends. And this whole thing, the whole split start is so ridiculous. Because, like, Patrick Cantlay didn't win the tournament. Maybe he would have if he didn't have a lead going into it. In a way, it protects you. If somebody has a huge lead...
Protect the strokes.
You protect your tournament from being, like, it could be relevant in one championship and not the other. Like, just get rid of the handicap. Get rid of it. It's so bad. Who knows, like, on 18, does Kevin Na lag his eagle putt? Because he's lagging it, he has no chance of winning the Tour Championship with the handicap, but he's going to insure himself a bigger pile of money if he two putts. Like, how fascinating would it have been if he had that 15 footer for eagle and he actually gives it a go and makes it, you know, because the tour championship's on the line. And then Rahm, same, like Rahm's chip, if he makes that, obviously he has a good chance to tie Cantlay. Cantlay lagged his putt, right? If Rahm makes that, but if Na's already in the house, like, then does Rahm go for that? It, like, there's all kinds of these permutations, and the tournament would have fallen out so much different. And I just, I'm done with this format. I'm done with the playoffs. There's a reason I took a two-week vacation right during them, because they're so irrelevant. I sat and, like, for 4 years of my life, I didn't take vacation during the, because I was like, oh, it's the playoffs, I can't take a vacation.
No,
this year, I said,
yeah,
fuck that. This yeah, is the worst, yeah, the worst time in golf. I just want to be away from it. And yeah, it stinks. It the playoffs are not good.
Yeah. No. And again, this is not a wholesale condemnation of the tour. Like, I thought, you know, guess what? I thought the Georgia Clemson game, I was fired up for that. That game sucked. I'm sorry.
It did suck.
It sucked. It doesn't mean I think Georgia sucks or Clemson sucks or the conferences suck or college football. Like, that was a bad game. I thought this tour championship was bad. It generally is not good for me. It does not appeal to me. There's probably a Georgia fan who just loves defense, gets his rocks off on defense, and thought that was the greatest game of all time. Good for you. I don't think you're a bad person, but again, this tour championship was especially lost. I don't have much else to say on the actual substance of it, the actual shots, the actual scores, other than the leaderboard is a mess. Cantlay's T4. It's just not great. Is this going to factor? Do we want to go there? I mean, you have Cantlay, the winner, saying this great Ryder Cup prep.
Yeah.
About your tour.
Love it.
This is the crucible of the playoffs. It's like the guy just won the NBA title saying this is great prep for Summer League or something. I don't know. Great prep for whatever.
Drew
the Olympics. Yeah, Olympics. I don't know. Because the Ryder Cup is, yeah, the Summer League's not a great comparison to, but yeah, maybe the Olympics. This is great prep for that. It's like, that's sort of damning quote. I don't know. Player of the year, there's a lot of chatter about that. I think it's just go to Jon Rahm. He's the best player. Let's not dilly-dally on that, right? I mean, we don't need to have a big discussion and breakdown. All right, on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Hey, hold on. We need to talk about something.
What?
Kevin Na ends the season as the third-ranked player in the world, and Brooks Koepka ends it as the 30th-ranked player in the world.
The FedEx Cup. Is that what you're saying?
And the FedEx Cup. Yeah. But here's, how does somebody finish third in the FedEx Cup and not make the Ryder Cup team?
Oh, you want to do Ryder Cup debate, roster debates right now?
I want to pose that question, because that's the immediate thing that I thought of when Kevin Na clocked in that great performance, the co-win of the Tour Championship, and got himself up to third in the FedEx Cup. Third in the FedEx Cup. Do you think the Ryder Cup, if they don't pick him, has to do some explaining? Does the PGA Tour have explaining to do to the FedEx? I mean, he's third in the FedEx Cup standings. He has to be on the team, right? He's the second highest ranked American in the FedEx Cup.
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, I think the Ryder Cup points started with Tiger's Masters win because of the pandemic. I think, like, 2019 Masters has some sort of points factored into this. I don't know. Like, Nah, I think would be a good pest. Mix it up. We don't need to be the friends group. I don't know when these picks are coming out. It's so
I think
murky,
it's Wednesday.
Nebulous. Oh, okay. Usually this, like, big brand, you know, announcements and la-di-da. I had a dream that they announced Tiger. He comes out from the curtain, throws his crutches away. No walking boot. Tiger's a surprise captain's pick. That's how, I don't know. I must have had too much to drink this weekend, and that was a dream I had. Anyways.
Nas won three times since the
Colonial.
Lot of guys that have won three times. He's got Shriners, 2019 Shriners.
Colonial,
Sony.
Right?
No, Sony.
Yeah. Okay.
And okay. And the Tour Championship.
And the Tour Championship. T1,
he's,
though. I mean, where do we need that?
He actually won. Yeah, he won Schwab, too.
Yeah,
he's won four.
On, he won the Challenger.
Four times. On OWGR, he has four wins since the last Ryder Cup.
All right. So the points are Finau, Schauffele, Spieth, English, Reed, Berger. Those are the last six guys. Finau, Schauffele, Spieth are in, probably.
Wait, he won the
sure.
military tribute. Was that before or after the... That might have been after. He might have won five times since the last Ryder
Cup. Guy wins a military tribute. That probably means he can thrive when the Stars and Stripes and national pride on the line, you know?
Because that doing. Was a fall event in 2018, right?
I don't know. You're asking me to recall the fall schedule 3 years ago.
Never mind. It was July 8th of 2018. Never mind. It wasn't that.
All right. All right. Do you care about what that 12th spot is? I mean, I think Patrick Reed is probably out. I just think he's out. I don't know. Guy can't get on a plane until today, maybe. And then I think it's going to be Webb, Scheffler. Nah, maybe.
That's what I'm
making
saying.
A push
nah,
for it.
I think
I
nah.
Know.
I mean, think about it. He won at a non-poofers course. Like, Eastlake is not poofer-friendly.
His record there has been horrendous.
That's
what
I'm saying. It's not friendly to any poofer. The only poofer that's ever played well there is Ryan Moore.
I had two guys left in a one-and-done league. I had him or Van Rooyen. I took Van Rooyen, and he screwed me, and it cost me several hundred dollars. But, yeah, because Nas never played well there. So he's and he did all right at BMW, which was absolutely not, you know, he did okay set up for him.
The other thing that I was thinking, like, he cooled off on the weekend, but Billy Boy played great. You know, like, what is Billy, if Billy Boy isn't chasing, like, a 10-shot deficit or whatever he entered the week, maybe 8-shot deficit.
He was hot, yeah.
Like, he's in the lead of the Tour Championship. Does he play differently? Like, does he win the Tour Championship? Like, if he wins, if he's the low guy, like, I think he would have had, like, a really good case for the Ryder Cup. You know, like, this is the thing. This is where, like, the significance, and I'm sure the tour loves that, you know, this is all for an exhibition match, you know, a month away. That's the intrigue centered around Joaquin Niemann breaking Kevin Na's record for quickest round. And,
yeah, is that like a thing now? Is that good for your, you know, most important season-ending championship that it's like, you know, how fast can I run through this round is now like a notable challenge for it? You know,
yeah,
Niemann,
I think it's
like the,
good.
The hype, oh God, all right.
Anyway. Gives you some early social pop.
They got to mix it up. Put a Nah, put a Billy Boy. I saw an Adam Shupak article today. I guess they're all going to Whistling Straits this weekend, 12th and 13th. I think they're going to get everybody up there. 10 to 12 guys. I think they're going to
maybe I'll stick around. I'm supposed to go up there midweek.
And
hang
Davis
around a little longer.
Oh, yeah. You can go say what's up to, you know, JT and everybody as they file into the American Club. So Davis Love had this quote. I just had to point it out. Quote, so they're on this reconnaissance mission this weekend. Quote, they had us over a barrel in Paris because we didn't have enough practice rounds at Le Golf National. The other team knew the golf course way better. We're going to focus on breaking down the course over the next couple of weeks until we get there. It's important for us to gather local knowledge and pass it on to guys that don't have the intimate knowledge as guys like DJ have. They had us over a barrel in Paris because we didn't have enough. Like, isn't that like the old, like, one thing you can do to prep for this thing is like know the course? And this is this, it's this important event. It's the most nervous, anxious you'll ever be. It's like the captains, what impact can they actually have? How are we, like, at 2020, 2018, how is that, like, how are we going in cold? It seems like the football coach or the NBA coach is like, we're going to take nothing but lawn twos. Like, just out it. Like, it's not like we're taking the boat over there and we get there and we've never seen the... They had us over a barrel? Like, isn't this important event? Isn't this, like, millions and millions of dollars and it's, like, legacies and histories? And I don't understand how, like... That was the case. That it just seems so antiquated and unnecessary to not be prepped. But anyways, apparently they will be this go round thanks to a congregation up there this weekend. So, all right, that's enough Ryder Cup. I don't know when those picks are coming. You say it's Wednesday. We'll keep an eye out for that for next episode. On the Korn Ferry Tour, We finished with our finals 25 players. I read off the 25 regular season. I'm going to do it this time for the finals 25. They get their due. They get their name up in lights on the shotgun start. Niche Golf Podcast. I wanted to throw some out.
Can I throw some out that made me smile?
Yeah, sure.
Dowie Vanderwall.
Oh, my God. That can't happen. I just think you got to, like, you know how you get, you can strike a juror. Like, you can say, like, I don't want him on the jury. Like, somebody, Fincham or whatever, what's his name, Jay Monahan's got to come in and say, no, we strike him. I'm going to use one of my vetoes. Yeah.
Dowie.
He's 40. The guy's up and down. Like, Dowie is what Dowie's going to be at this point. He's not coming in. He's not going to start winning.
What do you have against Dowie?
Nothing. There were some sketchy stories about him being fast and loose, the rules, I thought. But maybe I'm wrong. Okay, yeah. Good for Dowie.
Anybody that hasn't watched Justin Lauer, I think it's Lauer, right?
Yeah.
Spelled lower, but pronounced Lauer. His interview.
From Canal Fulton, Ohio?
Yeah.
Northeast Ohio boy.
You got a new Northeast Ohio boy after Co-Crack. You got Ryan Armour and Lauer now. I think Armour
got bounced. I don't think he made it through. So the quota can only stay at so high. So Armour out, Lauer in, one for one trade. There's only so many from Northeast Ohio. But he seems like an amazing story, amazing human being. Good to have him in there. He'll be fired up for the Browns. And good to have someone on tour. What else?
Kitty Ana, after years of driving on the Euro Tour, the American just comes home. You know,
dominating in Grand Canaria or wherever, these low-level Euro Tour events. Yeah, Malaysia, things like that. Okay.
On a serious note, Matthias Schwab, who already had his card locked up before this week, but he's a rising star, played really well on the Euro Tour. What about Huh?
Huh?
John? Yeah. We got another year of John Huh jokes on the pod.
That was one of our best, what was that? Like a fan vote Friday Junior. That was a great, great little spotlight on John Huh. Great backstory. Somebody to root for sure. All right.
We got Bramlett, Joey Bramlett. He's in the players. That's a big deal. He went nuts.
Yeah. Made like 20 birdies on the weekend at Victoria National and won the event. KFT went nuts.
Mullinax is back after a brutal concussion induced by a pro-am shank, partner shank is like back on the big tour.
God, yeah, unbelievable. Good for him. Glad to have him back.
Bezadenhout, you want to run down him now that I've
you're doing them all. Aaron Rye, who we knew from Boise, Bronson Burgoon,
Let your Burgoons be Burgoons.
That's terrible. Hayden Buckley, Sahith Thegala, who barely got in just the finals, the playoffs. Schwab, Vincent Whaley, Alex Smalley, Joshua Creel, Lucas Herbert, not Herbert, Callum Tarran, a rookie.
Is it Herbert or Herbert? Which one is it?
I think we said A-Bear and that upset the Aussies. So we'll just keep calling him A-Bear. Lucas A-Bear. Scott Gutchesky, journeyman of the week. Dowie. Kelly Kraft. You can't have a PGA Tour without Kelly Kraft. Yeah. So you got to get him back in there.
Have him back in. Patrick Rogers made it too. Another journeyman of the week.
He got hot at the end there. Yeah. Played right onto the right, just onto the right side there at the end. Of course, has conditional status and, would have plenty of opportunity. But
he would have been a heavy sponsor. Yes. Exempt.
Michael, I can never pronounce this, Gleeglitch, Canadian.
Oh, he's back.
Kiradek, the Barn Rat, got in there. Austin Cook, Peter Uihlein, and then Lauer was the last and final guy, knocking out Taylor Montgomery, who played the U.S. Open. Made the cut at the
number 26. He's just number 26. This sucks.
0 points from it. 26 regular season list. 26 on the finals list, and didn't get through. So brutal. So
we already talked about this. How big of a just ridiculousness this is. You feel bad for the guy. I hope he wins. I hope he finishes first next year. I don't know. This sucks. All these guys. You know, if you finish 26th of the super season, it's like finishing 20th or 15th in another season, I feel like.
Not to go big on the coverage. Kind of sucked that wasn't on. Like, couldn't see that.
Terrible.
Like, I mean, tape delayed. I got a text from front of the program, Kyle Robbins. Rogers is battling the two-gloved pervert for a card down the stretch and saying this isn't on TV. Rogers did get in. The Solicitor General did not, in case you were unaware. So, yeah, the TV was lacking. I just think you can find a place for it. It's 2021. There's a channel. There's a stream. There's something out there for to watch that live. It was, you know, the second most compelling drama of the week outside of the Solheim Cup. All right.
So you're least interested in Dowie getting back up.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Who are you most excited about getting the card?
Lauer. I mean, I'm a homer. Absolutely. Lower, Lauer. I should probably figure out how to pronounce his name. But
did you see his hat sponsor is lower.com?
Yes, that's kind of amazing. It's like Seamus Power being sponsored by whatever, that power.
It's yeah, why Wyndham Clark needs a Wyndham sponsorship. I think he did some speaking stuff for them. So I think he's on his way to... It's just like seamless sponsorships, you know?
I think Thigala is a good one to pay attention to, right? Dowie doesn't do much. Kelly Kraft, that kind of thing. I mean, even like, I don't know, people like Bramlett, Uline, like they're really good, but they're just kind of who they are at this point, right? That doesn't mean they can't get hot and be like win an event and have a bunch of top tens in a few months. Like,
well,
they
could
just
be like Kevin Tway on their way to 5 wins.
Really good, great players. And I don't know, that's good. I'm glad they got their card back. I'm not popping them for it. All right, moving on. We have another Hogard. Nikolai Hogard wins the Italian Open. It's kind of remarkable. Twins, Rasmus, and Nikolai.
I think they should be allowed to play the Ryder Cup together like stepbrothers, you know, where you could sub. You can't have two Hogarths on the course at the same time.
I see.
But you can sub one in for the other at any point.
They take up one roster spot. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, yes.
That's interesting. I like that. So he wins the Italian Open,
you know,
right after,
you know,
Rasmus.
I had a group of brothers, two brothers, applied for the COO position at the Friday together.
What? Did they want for one job or no? They
for
would
one
both
job.
Take the job and split the salary or something like
they
that.
Said,
I
think their logic was that they could both keep their jobs, the side together.
Unique. Yeah, you got to stand out. I appreciate that approach. You
we almost
out.
Replied with like the stepbrothers gif.
Anyways, Nikolai Hogard wins the Italian Open. It's a national open. There were power lines. There were not, I'd say, glowing reviews of Marco Simone. John Huggan had an article in Golf Digest.
It sounds perfect for a Ryder Cup.
Said there was... I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Marcel Sieve. Somebody was like, there's no memorable holes. Or maybe it was Raw. It was one of the, maybe it was a UK guy. No memorable holes. So, hey, like you said, that's perfect for a Ryder Cup. And those are your results.
I can't believe Hazeltine has another Ryder Cup. Like, that's utterly unbelievable to me that they have another Ryder Cup.
I can't believe it's just like parked in the Midwest for two decades, more or less. You know, the Bethpage, I guess, will break that up, but it's kind of crazy when you think about it. So
I think it should only be in the Midwest.
I'm a Midwesterner. It's unique. I can't believe it's gone that way. So, all right. I think that's it. We have anything else? We were going to talk about Ryder Cup, but we kind of hit on that already. So,
I mean,
you good?
Do you want to talk more about the Solheim Cup, or where do you think the Solheim Cup, like, where would you like to see it next?
I don't know. I saw people doing that. I think, like, if they're smart, they got to just do, like, the links, the classic links courses. The Glen Eagles stuff's just got to end on the other side of the pond. Just, you have such an embarrassment of riches. You have a late September date. Just keep doing that. You got it. I mean, it'll only amplify the event. It can't hurt it. I get that there's probably sponsor obligations, there's hospitality, there's lodging you want on site and things like that. But I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. Just stick to that. We saw it. It has an impact, whether you think it's peripheral, marginal, I don't care. Like, it gets more people who are into the game even more, I don't know, enthusiastic about it. On the state side, I don't know. You could go in a million different directions. Do you have one? Do you have certain specific places you want to? I kind of love the whole mid-market, like smaller market deal, the Des Moines, the Toledo. Yeah. Yeah. Had a U.S. Open, a U.S. Women's Open, as we
Wichita,
know.
Wichita. You're close enough.
Yeah.
That would be sweet. I mean, you know, if you like Shinnecock would be awesome. There's a big women's golf history at Shinnecock. I think they were, you know, they had women members in their founders.
Yeah.
You know, I it's like what we read about, what was it? Which event was it, that the Open Championship, the Women's Open? They were like, I sometimes think they don't ask.
Right.
Like, I think that's, like, part of the thing is, like, okay, like, let's, you got Inverness. This is a buoy. Like, let's ask. Let's shoot for the stars here.
Right.
You know, on top of that, like, Riviera would be awesome.
I mean, I think they're kind of at a point where they could literally ask anyone, and you at least get a call back, and you have pretty advanced discussions. I'm talking, like, any course in the country, maybe not Augusta National, but, like, any course at this point, I think would be, at least have a discussion about that and swing for the fences. Yeah.
Here's a place that I think might have enough space to do it. I'm not sure if it would. They probably have to be creative. Old Town Club in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Another kind of mid-market. That would,
it's an hour from Charlotte, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. Who else would there be?
Probably going to be a Wake player too, always. You know, you get a little hometown cook in there. By the way,
Amelia Migliaccio will be covering it. You know, Cupcho would be in it, though.
Do you know Cupcho, because we have a bunch of insane listeners, just got engaged to a guy named Jay Monahan?
No.
They sent it in to... Yes. Yes. He might be the real Jay Monahan. The other guy, Cupcho's boyfriend, or now fiance, is called Jay Monahan. Spelled the same way. A bunch of listeners alerted us to it, because they thought we'd appreciate that, and of course we do. I think that's amusing. Anyway, Old Town's a good one. Old Town's a good one. All right. Anything else? Solheim? Event of the week? Where is it going next in Europe?
I think it's going to, like, Portugal.
I figured it was some, like, buried deep in the continent, although that's...
Oh, Spain. Peninsula. Spain. Okay. It's in Spain. Courtesan Golf Club in Casares. Maybe we should go. You think wives would be
zero
happy,
restriction,
right?
Zero restriction, a little junket with zero restriction next time around.
Yeah,
a couple of years. All right, we could do that. Say we're important team support system. You know, with their outerwear provider. All right. Everyone, enjoy your Monday. What's left of it,
hey,
Monday holiday.
Now
what?
That the season's over, we could do a where, which five, two or five events we want to go to in the next calendar year.
That we won't go to. Will Bardwell's texting me about Sanderson, saying he's got lodging, good cooking, need to get down there. But I don't know. We'll see.
He's not texting me about it. He must not like that call at the Rooster.
The Peacock Championship.
Peacock.
I know. All right, everybody, enjoy your Mondays. What's left of them? Tuesdays, we got a different schedule this week. We'll see. We may have our
NFL. What about Yale? Yale is a Solheim Cup host.
I think that'd be great. I think New Haven. I think that would really pop.
The Creek Club would be sick. On Long Island.
Yeah. New York gets a lot of events, but I think that would be good. That'd be good for it, for sure. All right, we'll be back. What are we doing? We might be back Thursday. We might be back Tuesday. Our annual NFL preview, which I know, you know, everybody's ready for the season. You come to
Kevin
us for
Clark,
the NFL
discussion. We're scheduling. Kevin Clark, okay. we failed to, you know, people will find humor that we failed to lock down a Tuesday time with Kevin Clark. He's not busy or anything.
He's
now
right?
too busy. He's pushing us off to next week, which is understandable. I think he's got a few things on his plate. It'll work out better now that after the Bears get annihilated by the Rams and, you know, Andy
Browns
Dalton probably throws six interceptions and, you know.
Oh, that will be fun. That'll be delightful.
Nagy doubles down on Dalton being the starter.
We'll maybe do some over-unders before that. But, all right, and we're going to have a spotlight this week as well. So
sprinkle
on the spotlight at some
Not
point.
Not Trevino. Don't ask.
Trevino's coming. Trevino, you got to wait till we don't have a million golf events to talk about. We'll sprinkle him in. All right, we'll be back.